WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
Going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it, one play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let
this
be taken away from you?
No,
sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
it's
moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
And welcome to Inside Ben Davis. Welcome to the Inside Ben Davis Football Giants, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here with my co-host Garrett Burkle and the man in the myth himself, Coach Man. 3-0 this season. I mean, congratulations. 62-0 win against Pike. I mean, you guys really shut them down. Yeah. What was going on through your head during that game?
Well, I appreciate it. It was a nice start to the season. 3-0 is nice. That's better than 2-1. And so that's better than 1-2 as well. So 3-0, we did do well. We played well in all three phases, and that's kind of a cliche thing to answer. I tried my best not to answer that way, but getting a turnover on special teams, offense being able to score on every possession, defense getting a stop on every possession, that's a pretty good night for all three phases of the game.
So, Coach, the game kind of started off with two huge touchdowns by Mark Zachary. Just kind of explain, you know, how nice it is to have a guy like that on your football team.
It's nice. Like, being able to take the – it wasn't even taking the top off. Just being able to make a special playoff at, like, a shorter catch, making people miss, and being able to go from 0 to 100 real quick. And he does that nicely on the offensive side, and he is a weapon for us on the offensive side and as well as on the defensive side where but we allow him to focus a lot in practice on the offensive side, so he can get comfortable with the game plan, and he can get comfortable with our quarterbacks. And so that is nice to have somebody who can score from distance. As many offensive coordinators know, the closer you get, the harder it is to score. So being able to score from the other side of the field or from midfield is very nice.
Coach, I want to talk about how you guys really went into this game. You only used Elijah Price like 3 to 4 times, we've seen. And honestly, he came in his first play of the game. He scored a touchdown, which is very great. I mean, untouchable. He didn't even get touched. What made you guys go into this game and just use your outside of all your other backup running backs?
Well, it seemed like that. Like, he had kind of banged up his back a little bit Wednesday in practice. So he was going to be used if need be. And, he was okay, but we were just going to use that wisely. Didn't want to that position takes a lot of pounding as it is, and Pike is a pretty physical defense, so we have running backs already. Like, we have three other running backs that would start for probably about 300, 350 different teams in the state of Indiana, so there was nothing wrong at all with them getting as many carries as they did on Friday night. Isaac came in, did a nice job. Cameron caught another one out of the backfield. Nice to see Zion get in the end zone, so they all had at least a score on Friday night.
Coach, your quarterback, Thomas Gutkowski, almost made history on Friday. He had 5 touchdown passes, the record here at, for Ben Davis is 6, and again by Reese Taylor. Did you have any sort of idea he was anywhere close to the record, or you just kind of, I'd imagine you're just pretty much coaching at that point?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to see him break it, Coach. I thought you was going to put him back out there.
Through your question, I was like, oh boy, I missed something. Here we go. So, no, we didn't. We wanted to make sure we were sharp on everything. And Isaiah came in and got one himself. And Isaiah's come in the last two games, and he's kind of like how Sanders was for Colorado this past week, just shooting free throws out there, above 80% both games. Thomas did a nice job, got his reps when he did. And no, I did not know it was at 6. And I do know a lot of the record book. I know a lot of the record book. And when you went through that one, I was like, oh my, I bet it was either Reese or James. Who was it going to be? Like, Kastner have one? I didn't know. I was like, so as you said 5, I was like, please tell me it was 7. Please tell me the record was 7. And when you said it was 6, okay. But no, that wasn't why we put him out there just to get that. Would have been the wrong thing to do at that time. Isaiah took some snaps there in the second quarter, a guy that drove us down the field to get in field goal range. So, no, I did not know. Now I do. It's in my head.
Coach, we've seen not too much from the Pike Red Devils. I mean, they didn't have their starting core QB, Juju Rodriguez, which is pretty disappointing. We thought he was going to play out there that day, but we seen him in no pads and just joggers. And LeKendrick Shuttle was to come out and perform. And you guys did a great job locking him down. What was the game plan so far to see what LeKendrick can do and stopping him on the offensive side?
Well, LeKendrick's been a starter for them for a while. And I've seen him saw me with a big win, comeback win, or against L. Lynn as a sophomore. That was like week 9, and I was scouting out both teams for the playoffs and potentially playing Lawrence North in the playoffs. We had a week off at that time, and he has started for multiple years. So he's a veteran as well. Yeah, we prepared for Juju. We had a feeling potentially there was somebody who actually knew that there was a possibility that he might not play. But the dynamic that he brings to the game and his 0-100 speed and his elusiveness, we had to prepare for him. Obviously, we're going to change the whole offense when Suttles got in at quarterback. But his dynamic, he was going to probably throw the ball more. And there's a cheat code when Juju goes in, he can press buttons on the controller that not everybody can press all the time. So like, we prepare for him, that dynamic, what did change the game a little bit, but we were going against a starting quarterback. I mean, he started for 2 years, so he started quite a few times, but yes, Juju is it's electric when he gets the ball, especially in open space.
So you pointed out, you know, obviously, you know, they planned for Rodriguez all week. Just, you know, how important, you know, or how good did it feel, you know, kind of, you know, your defense goes in, you know, all week planning for one guy. They see another one on Friday. You know, just how, you know, how good of a feeling is it, you know, for them to adapt as quickly as they did to Suttles versus versus planning for Rodriguez?
Great question. The preparation was already for the schemes that Pike had. So I'll tell you this, that the playing at the 6A level and playing against these MIC opponents, and I'm sure I haven't gone that deep against ACC opponents. I've done just Avon Brownsburg. I've not coached against a lot of the other teams. It's been years since I've even gone against Franklin Central. But the backups here are pretty good. And so there are a lot of times I've seen coaches change the demeanor of their whole position group because of a backup being in, like, oh my gosh, their right guard's not playing or their quarterback's not playing. You know, the backup comes in and just has an electric night. I know one night, this was probably back in the mid-2000s when Carmel started this kid named Morgan Newton, and that was the first game he had started. This little sophomore comes in, they're like, oh, they're going to start this little sophomore against us. Well, Morgan Newton ended up having a great career, and he had a great night against us. I was at North Central at that time, and he went on to Kentucky and had just a fine career. So, a lot of times, you just got to make sure you know that what we've prepped for against the schemes and not necessarily, yes, personnel. There are times that you do have to keep an eye on who is in the backfield or who they might run behind, or the running backs or the receivers, and you might have to take personnel part away. But for that, we knew they were going to change the whole scheme for a new quarterback.
Coach, we saw on that Friday night Pike game, well, Pike really had no answers for you guys. They had a really great defensive line. I mean, their defensive line is a powerhouse. We've seen them get through you guys' offensive line on a bunch of plays, but you guys came back and got right back down the field. You want to talk about their defensive line for a little bit?
No, absolutely. Like that, Coach Brevard is doing a great job there. He's going to – and we talked for a while. Friday night, we talked for a while. On Saturday, he's a defensive guy too. So, like – as you guys said, he's a legend, and a legend here at Ben Davis. I did talk to him as soon as I left here last Tuesday. Sent him a video, and then we talked back and forth for a while about his legendary 2 years that he had here at Ben Davis. And their D-line's nice. They went to a four-man front. They've been an odd front with three men for quite a few years, so it's nice to give play to your strengths, and I know Coach Brevard likes being a four-man front guy, and if they are that deep at that position group, it is good for them to start four of them. And a lot of times people will try to just run the scheme that they're comfortable with, but obviously Pike has the personnel to run a four-man front right now. They are that will help them out as the year goes on because of some of the teams that they'll have to play. Being able to control the line of scrimmage will be give them position to win some games, and they'll come out swinging against Southport this next week.
Coach, you obviously, you know, you were able to get some good reps in for the backups, you know, like you did last week against Avon. Who are some guys that impressed you this week?
And like I tread lightly on how that's managed. Not everybody, yes, there were some people who, and it got to a point where, yes, everybody that was basically that were able to dress did get some reps there. But and a lot of people calling Isaiah Rogers backup, like he would start, like, let's say we are there's 380 tees in the state of Indiana, he'd start for 375 of them, 376 of them. He's just at a place right now that he hasn't had a start yet, but he came in, like I said earlier, came in on fire, making a lot of completions there. One guy that was new to the lineup, Javier Horton, came in, and we already call him, and this is a compliment to him. And he's also looked up the player and studied him a little bit already. His demeanor and his mannerisms and the way he plays the position, he reminds a lot of people on our coaching staff of David Bell, who played at North Central and then went to Purdue and is now with the Cleveland Browns. And so the way he plays the position as a receiver, it was nice to see him come in and get two catches for 99 yards at his first high school touchdown. It was nice to see everybody come in and do what they're supposed to do. They aren't backups. If we're not putting you in there to do what would be backups a favor, we're doing the program a favor because we are at the score where it is. You're going out there to perform. You're not going out there just to like run out the game, or you're just going out there just to get reps. Or no, we went out there to perform it. I'm glad that the people who went on that field did what they did. Like they continue to perform at a high level.
So I thank you guys for listening to the first half of Inside Ben Davis Football here. We're going to take a 1 minute break and we'll be right back to talk about IMG Academy and the big up and coming game for Ben Davis Giant Sports here.
Thanks to Chuck Bear Carpenter Realtors for his support. Chuck Bear with Carpenter Realtors offers services such as an analysis of your home's value, a marketing plan, and knowledge of the market. Serving central Indiana counties, Chuck Bear Carpenter Realtors can be reached at 317-698-3339. Online at chuckbear.callcarpenter.com. Thank you to Chuck Bear Carpenter Realtors for his support.
Help protect your family from flu this season by taking three easy steps. First, get yourself and your family a flu shot. It's quick and can protect you all season. Second, take everyday actions to help prevent the spread of germs like flu. Cover your cough, stay home from work or school if you're sick, and wash your hands often. Third, there are drugs that can treat flu illness. These work best when started early. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
Welcome back here on Inside Ben Davis Football. I'm here with my co-host, Garrett Burkle, and the man himself, Coach Man. So, Coach Man, we're going to go ahead into this section against IMG Academy, one of the top-ranked national teams in America. I mean, we've seen these guys play on ESPN and other broadcasting programs, but you guys seem prepared and ready to go against any matter what this team is going to bring out for you guys.
Absolutely. We signed up for this game on purpose. Like we have a squad that it's not like you are going to sign up for this game when you know you're like depleted, or you don't have a lot of athletes, or you're just a smaller program. We know what we are doing, and we're not sitting here thinking that there's no moral victories or keep it close. We have a game plan. We have a team. That's been part of the focus this week, and so some of the mindset is that we had a co-captain summer, like we had an off season together. We have had many different activities and building developed the different relationships throughout the process, and I know that they're going to get stronger as the season goes on, and I know that they'll have many different like road trips and hotel trips and journeys together. But we've grown up together, and we. We know what we have. We know what we're capable of. And we have already set that bar pretty high with our mentality. And we had a heck of a practice yesterday morning. And it was nice to have the install that we had, the field work that we had. And you can kind of slowly feel it brewing, at least the belief. It's not going out there to just hope we keep it close type of mentality.
Coach, IMG is filled with athletes, obviously. You have, your own athlete, you know, on the team, obviously, with Mark Zachary, a national guy, kind of like these IMG guys. How important is it to have a guy like that, you know, go up against, you know, around the same nationally ranked players, you know, as him? How important is that for a guy like him, you know, to have that on your team, you know, a guy that can, you know, hang around with, you know, these big athletes from IMG?
No doubt. Like, and I, if they have a focus on taking him out, luckily we have a, we are very deep athletically too, where if they focus on him, we have a 3 to 4 or 5 other receivers that will be able to get their catches and touches and do what they do. I don't know who's going to have the catches. I don't know who's going to have the touches. I don't know who's going to have the touchdowns. If it's Mark, it's Mark. If it's Nate, if it's Zane, if it's Malik, if it's Javier, if it's or Javier, if it's Elijah Price, Isaac, Zane, Zion, Thomas, Isaiah, we have enough dogs that we're like, we might have Mark, but we have a whole team.
Right.
Heck, it could be some of the things I've seen in the Arsenal for this week. We're coming. We're not going to sit out here. And we don't know what schematically they're going to do. And if they go after somebody like Mark, then cool, awesome. We do have others that are ready for this game and ready for to shine if they get their moment. And if what's nice to see is that when these touchdowns are happening, you see 10 guys sprinting to whoever scores. You see a team that's excited, for genuinely excited. I know I watched just the last one I just saw was like Malik's, and you just saw the whole receiver corps take off for him. Like it was he was the one that was open. He got the pass. So like don't know who it's gonna be Friday, but we'll see. And they'll be ready.
Coach, how are you looking forward to stop, you know, IMG Academy's quarterback Jaden Bradford? I mean, me and Garrett don't watch a couple games from him and see his performances, and you know, he loves to go deep. I mean, that's the main thing that IMG goes. They're 15-plus-yard passing team that just loves to get their receivers down the field and make sure nobody touches them.
Well, I'll tell you that he's also fast. He's also extremely fast. He had a touchdown run against St. Joe that was a lot like Juju speed. So he sits in the pocket nicely. He delivers a good ball. He locks in on his target, ready to roll, and he does have a nice deep ball. So we'll see schematically if we can stay on top of the routes and then put some people in pressure and maybe put in some areas that he might like to attack. We'll see how we do against them. You know, like we have some quarterbacks up here that we've had to defend too, but I'll tell you, he's also fast. Like he can get out of that pocket. He can make you pay with his legs too.
So, Coach, IMG did not play last week because of the hurricane situation down in Florida. Do you think does it hurt, you know, your team in a way to where, you know, they had to kind of had a bye week, or do you think it kind of hurts IMG, you know, because they did not play last week, they didn't get those reps in? So what way do you think that kind of falls?
I'll tell you that with IMG only being able to play a 9 or 10 game schedule, they're going to be one of the better teams right there at the end. They're already talented as it is. And they have some newer sophomores or juniors that have joined them. And when they start to, I've made the reference that like when the Miami Heat got together that first time with LeBron and Chris Bosh and D Wade, they started off 8-9. It took them a while to gel and figure out. It actually wasn't until year two until they won the NBA championship. But now this is a little different situation with football, but it does take them a little bit longer sometimes at the beginning of a season to figure out their identity and their roles and who they're going to be. I've had some friends who coached for them in the past, and I've had some meetings and talks with them, and that was one of the things that both of them had said on their own, that you're lucky you're playing them a little bit more at the beginning of the season. So that would play into our advantage. Now the disadvantage is that they were canceled on Wednesday, so they got to put that game to rest and begin preparing for us. So they probably, with one of the guys I talked to, they said they probably got to work on us last Friday as a program. So disadvantage for them is that this is only their third game. Advantage is that they got to prepare for us for a few other days. So either way, I'm not worried about us so much. I'm just excited about the moment that we're going to have, and excited for when they start to announce that halftime score around the area.
Coach, what are the three guys you're probably, you know, most dangerous to watch out for on the IMG defensive side?
Well, I go with one of the whole D-line, you could actually say. The D-line is pretty impressive. If you did watch them on TV 2 weeks ago when they were on ESPN2, everybody saw number 90, David Stone. He committed to Oklahoma at halftime. There's a kid from Brownsburg, Jaden Jackson, that is also on the D-line, does a nice job for him. I don't know all the linebackers by name, but I know number 6 plays pretty well. And then number 12 is a very special corner. One of the conversations I had is that, that might be a special corner, but they're all very good in the defensive backfield. And some of them are multiple-year starters. And careful with just acting as if one of them is the best of the group, because the others are coming and trying to take that title as well. So they don't yes, they're happy for him to be possibly the number one rated prospect in the nation, but they want some of that light too. So they're going to make sure they get, with the ball goes their way, they're going to get they'll make sure they'll take advantage of their opportunities. So, well, we, most of the best answer is all 11 of them, but they're, I got them by numbers in my head too. I got, but yeah, the 90 D lineman, 99 on the other side, 65, but then 6 at linebacker, 12, 23. There's quite a few dogs.
Now, Coach, obviously IMG, again, they have a lot of speed. So how do you kind of, get your defense? How do you coach up your defensive backs this week, to see this wide receiver group, versus, another wide receiver group like Pikes, last week? How do you kind of, change, your coaching style between the two teams?
From the end of one football play to the beginning of the next play is the beginning. From the end of one football play, the story of the next play comes. There are things throughout that whole ball being spotted, from the whole time the receivers are getting a play to where they align. They're telling you what's coming at you. You just have to pick up on the little details that are happening. And it could be alignment. It could be different eye, contact with different players. It could be something with the quarterback and the receiver. Whatever it is, the story's coming at you. If you are more worried about what's happening in the stands, or looking over for our signals, or talking to people on the field on our defense, or in a conversation with somebody on IMG, you're losing key details of what's being told, and that the whole story is unfolding to you. I've said it to many defenses, is that there might be it's like a 70-page book. Page one is, you could write the whole page. As soon as that series starts, you could write a whole page of everything that happened, all the details of that one. Page two is the whole thing. Is like from the moment the play one ended, page two's story begins, and that's play two in the game. And there's little details of alignment, little details of just mannerisms certain people have before plays that allow you to know potentially what could be coming, some tendencies, some of the film study that we have, which will allow us to know some of the different positions that we need to be on the field. And always, always, always don't get beat deep. Stay on top of routes, stay on top of routes, stay on top of routes, because there's some speed over there for sure.
Coach, I wanted to go in and talk about IMG Academy running back. I mean, they have two running backs, both dual threat running backs, actually, Anthony Rogers and Jarek Gibson. I mean, those are two good running backs, by the way, junior and a senior, coming in back-to-back seasons. You guys are really really working on that deep game, but you got to be careful with their short passing games, because they love to send out their running backs more like a type of Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey type offense going in. Are you guys going to be conservative around that short passing game too?
Yeah, I'd love for short passing game. At least we have a chance to keep them in front of us. It's that deeper one. And they have some speed receiver. No, number 10 is a track guy for him too. He's, the funny story with him is when I talked with some of the people who know some of the roster a little bit, they said that everybody at IMG is fast. Everybody at IMG is fast, but when they talk about him, they'll say, "Coach, he's fast." I guess so. Making sure we have an eye on him. But when it comes to the running backs, love if they kept it with the short game. That would be great. If they use them in the passing game, that means it's only 5-man protection. And I love where our odds then are with some of our pass rush and potentially getting some pressure on them. But yes, if they get that ball in space, especially with the running backs getting it at a certain timing of it where they have multiple levels that they can cut through because they get that ball in space. But you're right. They have two nice running backs. The senior is getting a lot more carries than the junior at this time. But when the junior comes on, it's not like they drop off at all. The junior does a nice job too. Sometimes they have a few different sets where they're using both of them in the backfield. That's outstanding.
Coach, this is not your first game against the national powerhouse. Obviously week one you opened up with a huge win at Cincinnati Moeller. How much confidence does that kind of build, leading up into this game?
Great question, because That did help a lot. If we did go over to Ohio and that didn't go well, that would be a lot more difficult to get a mindset for this game. We also scrimmaged two of Illinois' best this summer. We scrimmaged Loyola, who is ranked about the same as where we are nationally right now, and then East St. Louis. And East St. Louis won their state championship last year 57-7, and East St. Louis a national power as well, too. So we have been able to prep for this with the summer scrimmages that we had, then open it up with that Moeller game. So it got to let us know like what it is going against other schemes, other teams, other talents, some of the top in the Midwest so far. But now we're going to mess with it a little bit of the South and then go with one of the nation's best and Florida's best. So if that Moeller game didn't happen, the success that we had at that one, it's some of that mindset that did happen. It will be, if that didn't happen, then it would be make this one a lot more difficult. But this that win, it definitely going to catapult us with our mentality going into this game.
And coach, what are the three major game plans you want to see go down in this IMG game?
Now, I know that when we record this, I know when I was at a different school, I would always listen to this to see if I could gain any intel. And game plan wise, I hope IMG's not like listening to stuff on the flight up here Thursday morning trying to find any intel on us. Game plan wise, we are going to have to survive the very first punch of like, okay, we're not playing Indianapolis anymore. We're playing some of the top players in the nation. That will be a good answer for right now. Like that'd be the very first one, because yes, we are going to be in a good mindset going in that game. And yes, Moeller had a 75-yard touchdown run to open up that game. So we got punched in the face just right there at the beginning. And I don't know how the punch in the face is going to be with IMG. I don't know if it's going to be with their D-line. I don't know if it's going to be with their secondary. I don't know if it's going to be with their running backs. I don't know if it's going to be with their O-line. I don't know where that punch in the face is going to happen. But then it's going to be like, oh, okay, we're in this boxing match. All right, here we go. We were put together pretty well, too. Number two is being able to make any little adjustments to game plans-wise schematically of what they might have changed from the first 2 weeks and having 2 weeks off to prepare for potentially this game, even though they were working on a different game plan for another team. There could be some different wrinkles that they've been able to work on for a while schematically. So being able to make those adjustments. And then number three, no matter what the score is, at what point, like how we're going to be able to win it from there. If it's going to be having to come from a score or two behind, or being in a tie game or a one score game, because that's where then they're going to how we're going to be able to manage that. So those are probably safe answers for right now, but those are some of the game plan for this week.
And last question, coach, what's your message do you have for Purple Rain?
What's mine?
What's your message do you have for Purple Rain, coach?
For my message is I heard things in the last month about keeping it close or coming out healthy. That's not how we're built. How we're built is that we're the game's at 7 o'clock on Friday night. We're not going in that game to come out healthy. We're not going in that game to keep it close. This is Ben Davis, and this is we're nationally ranked two. Like, they might be in the top five, but we're in the top 10, top 25. Like, we're right there. So if they want to come up here, like, and think that we're just an Indiana football team, okay, come on up. Take us lightly. That's what we want. So mentality-wise, we're not here to keep it close. We're not here just to, like, have fun. We're coming.
Hey, you heard him from the man himself. Well, thank you guys for listening to Inside Ben Davis Football here on Indy Giants 90.9 here. I'm Elijah Ennis, co-host by Garrett Burkle, and you just heard us talking to the man himself, the legend, Coach Russ Mann. Stop by here on WBDG 90.9 on Friday night by 7 o'clock, where the Ben Davis Giants will take on top national-ranked IMG Academy, and we will see the Giants and see if they can prove out that they're one of the best teams in the nation in this school of Indiana football. I'm Elijah Ennis here with Garrett Brokaw and Coach Mann. And this has been Inside Ben Davis Football.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.